WTCM News Talk 580. Welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio. The gang from Prout Financial Design is in the studio, including Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It is so good to be here on Thursday, July 27th, 2023, the last Thursday of the month, yes?
Yes. Is it?
I think so.
I'm taking your word
Next
for that.
Next week is August. August. You bet. 7/27/23. If you do happen to be listening live here this morning, obviously it's Thursday. Feel free to write or call. Our number is, Ron, please.
The number is 231-947-0023. You can call us or you can send us a text message or question at 833-728-1140. That's 833-728-1140.
And if you do want to text in even on Saturday, which is the rebroadcast at 9 a.m., you're welcome to do that too, and we'll get to it the following week. So lots to talk about today, but first, Heidi Cartwright joins us. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. It's great to be here today.
Great to have you here. Our own RICP and Managing Director. And Deanne Jennings, talking about our Director of Operations, lots of stats today, too.
Absolutely. Good morning, Michigan.
And she's
so
back.
Happy.
Yeah. She's sorry. Yes, you were back. You were away last week.
A little break. So happy to be back, though.
Great to have you here. Thanks, Deanne. So what a week. First off, some errata from last week, an error. I was expecting 8 to 10 phone calls, at least on Monday. Silence, radio silence. When, Ron, you said it wasn't really the focus of the conversation, but, you know, you've got $1 million and you want to draw 5% and earn 5%.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I very absentmindedly, I was thinking of other things, thought, well, $5,000 a month. Well, unfortunately, that's 6%, Dennis, yes. As I listened over the weekend, see, no one else, I caught it. I did ask Nathan about it to be sure. Full facts. He said, yeah, Dad, but you were moving, so I couldn't really interrupt anyway. So I had a good laugh over the weekend about that. 5% of $1 million is $50,000, which is a little over $4,000 a month. Thank you very much. So for those of you who heard that and said, well, oh, well, that's just, you know, part of the radio conversation. And I was thinking, what a great lesson. When you're listening to financial information over the radio, no matter who it is, take it with a grain of salt, because sometimes we move quickly and sometimes we miss some of the details that may be important to you. So some of this disclosure information that we leave to you, don't treat this. You know, we do our best to fill out the information. That's why we have Heidi here with us as well. She's more detail oriented than I am. Thank goodness. But, you know, sometimes we miss some things. So as it relates to your personal situation, please investigate and have a conversation, especially if needed, with your own personal financial advisor, accountant, bookkeeper, attorney, whomever can help in that particular regard, and or financial advisor. So with that, what a week. It has been unsettled with one's current investment portfolio. The momentum of the stock market is most certainly to the upside and must be respected. However, the course of action seems unsettled. The soft landing hypothesis is becoming more popular among professional money managers, as shown in the Barron's, as well as by an article from Bloomberg. We're going to get into some of this in terms of what's happening. Mark Hulbert, though, we hit first. By the way, before we do that, I wanted to hit this. The third year of the presidential term is historically the best year for stock prices.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Third year. And indeed, we are in still the third year of this presidential term. And that would then continue through the end of September. Yes, September 30th, according to this article. So it's been quite positive. And as Nathan mentioned last week, the NASDAQ, they're actually having to rebalance this, I think, for the sixth time in its history. So it just shows that rebalancing that's having to occur there. Some of the stocks on the NASDAQ, Google, to put a fine point to it, in the last few days, they just blew through their earnings expectations. I think they beat it by 20%. Mm-hmm. So that shows the impact of AI and all the rest it's having on these companies and their earnings. Real money.
Real money.
Real money.
Created wealth.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Created a lot of wealth in its share price as it ballooned up. Apparently, we're up about 47 on the Dow, on the good old Dow Jones, so far today. Today being, of course, Thursday, 7/27. So the research from Mark Holbert, the research documenting a strong third-year effect in the stock market is focused on fiscal years beginning on September 30th. So the current third year has less than 3 months to go. Dow Jones Industrial Average has produced well above average gains in the first three quarters of the presidential cycle third year. It is below average performer in the fourth quarter. So we're already in the fourth quarter. Furthermore, the historical research indicates that this period of below average performance should last until the fourth year's fourth quarter.
We're in the third quarter.
We're in the fourth quarter.
From September,
from 6:30 to 9:30.
Yeah, because it's the fiscal year begins on September 30.
Okay, you're going okay, like a federal government. Okay,
and that's why.
Got it.
Normally, we would be in the third quarter.
Thanks for interpreting for me, Heidi. Sometimes Dennis goes so fast. Not always helpful.
The fiscal year.
Average Dow Jones Industrial Rate return since 1896. So this goes back a ways. Most people would say it was a previous century. By quarter of presidential election year cycle, it just shows that the end quarter, the final quarter, is much lower than average, as you can see in that there around that low number there.
There are three bars that are up high and one bar that is down low. Yeah.
And then there's a big arrow that says you are here at the low point.
So this is folklore data, as our own economist references. And he is still positive on the stock market himself, given his own, as he references, his shadow index model. Now, what's interesting next is where and when is the recession? The odds are rising that the next economic downturn will be mild, according to this article by Simon White of Bloomberg.
Simon says,
recessions happen when the cycles that operate in markets and economies begin to reinforce each other negatively. The worst recessions, such as in 2008, a blisteringly brutal recession, occur when all the major cycles hit their nadir at the same time. N-A-D-I-R, nadir. Ouch. You know, that's the painful. That's
the valley.
Proverbial. What do they call that kind of punishment from Dad? He used to call it a whipping. I forget what it was, you know. Corporal punishment.
Corporal punishment.
That's the word we wanted. For those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, ask your father. He might know. But when some cycles are in an upswing, that alleviates the depth and severity of the recession shock. There are increasing signs this is what we are seeing in the current environment. So, actually, this is not sleeper information. In case you were tempted to take a nap, well, no, I'm driving, thank you. I get it. But interesting. Consider five of the most influential cycles. The business cycle, one. The inventory cycle, number two. Housing cycle, three. Credit cycle, four. And the liquidity cycle, five. Several of them show signs of having bottomed. As the leading indicators anticipate that they will soon turn up, it means that the likelihood of a severe recession is receding.
The recession is receding.
Mm-hmm. So the likelihood of a severe recession is receding. If you can say that three times quickly, you're indeed quite.
So this was positive news.
Yes.
It is positive. Thank you, Heidi.
Things are looking up.
Yes.
When you hit bottom, everything looks up, right?
Yes it does.
Exactly.
It can't get much lower. Yes, well, indeed, as it hits its nadir, as this article references. The business cycle is the most widely understood business cycle and is the simplest way recessions are measured, i.e., by GDP growth, gross domestic product, all the goods and services that our current economy produces, from soup to nuts and bolts in between. Leading data is turning up strongly now. indicating the business cycle should start improving within the next 6 months. And there I reference this graph again, Ron,
it's,
for all the audience to see.
Yes, it is.
Starting
it's
to head
an arrow
up there.
Pointing up.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. So this indicator is built from leading hard and soft data and is being driven higher by inputs such as building permits and a steeper yield curve. So the yield curve is not quite so inverted as it was. Truck sales, which are also leading the business cycle, tend to lead the business cycle rather, are turning higher. Those are not the hallmarks of an economy about to crash badly. All right. So our business cycle is appearing to bottom. Now, what's in the middle of all this, excuse me, I actually looked up what impact impeachment has on the stock market. As you all know, we try to stay out of politics, but it's bleeding onto our side of the court these days. As you all know, there's a lot of noise out there in the political environment. We'll just call it noise, shall we? But there's nothing that I could see that definitively would tell us that the market tends to be negative given an impeachment. It would tell us that if the market goes down, the chances of an impeachment is much more likely. But given the current elevation of the stock market, and I know many of you are saying, what are you talking about, Dennis? They do tend to be interrelated. Mm-hmm. Just reference President Richard Nixon. Mm. Okay? So the inventory cycle is also an important determinant of a recession's intensity. Yet today, the inventory cycle is currently in a full downswing. Moreover, leading data shows that it should stop falling in the next 6 to 9 months. The gluts seen after the pandemic have been largely worked through. Inventories having to be built back up rather than worked through will alleviate the downturn. So the inventory, while into a downturn right now, they're picturing, because it is in the midst already there or appearing to be there in its cycle, it's not that serious in terms of what that means. The housing cycle's bounce took many by surprise, especially as the Federal Reserve was continuing to hike rates. But it's the second derivative that's more important. Excuse me. Mortgage rates have fallen sharply on an annual basis this year and are currently about 100 basis points lower than they were a year ago. Most people would say, you mean 1%? Yes. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of surprised by that. I wasn't aware that mortgage rates are that much lower. Now, the reason the market is up, given the Fed just increased rates by a paltry 0.25% yesterday, is they think it's the end of the hiking cycle. This is going to be the final chapter of the Fed increasing its own interest rates and thus the interest that they pay on their debt. This should lead to a continued rise in building permits, a positive for the housing market. And it is, we're seeing that in these companies that build houses. They are doing quite well right now. Thank you very much. So that would be a generally positive indicator, among others. Why? Because no one is selling their house. They're having to build new ones. Isn't it amazing how this economy responds to issues like that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Our economy doesn't always go the way of what you might think. Their ability or its ability to adjust is a thing to marvel. People don't always act rationally. But given all the other things or points, if you will, that are set aside, sometimes that rational behavior can make sense, even from a corporate attitude. Well, if there are no homes out there, why wouldn't we try to build more new homes? And then why wouldn't there be some more demand from those who need a home?
All I can say is we need a roof over our heads.
Yes, dear, let's buy a house. So you need to see where that goes. Now, one less rosy area is the credit cycle. Banks have been tightening credit, and banks are beginning to make fewer loans. Loan delinquencies are rising, especially for auto loans and credit cards. You probably heard this in the news. Credit spreads, though, have yet to reflect this bankruptcy filings rising. So we'll see where that goes. Credit markets do have the potential to turn a mild recession into something more serious, and so must be watched closely. Of course, much more positive is the liquidity cycle, which is turning up strongly, indicated by the nascent rise in excess liquidity. This guy likes to use, you know,
he
pretty
likes
big
to
words.
Use that word.
Nascent, right.
Mm-hmm. Nader.
Nader, yeah, that too. Who's he?
By the way, do you know what the opposite of nader is? I looked it up. I mean, nader is the bottom, but if you wanted to use an equal opposite, zenith.
Ah.
Or acme. Acme is like the summit.
Zenith or acme?
Really?
Hmm.
Yeah, he went from the nader to the acme.
Okay. We'll have to remember that.
No kidding.
Acme.
Acme Township's going to be really pleased
just
at that.
Just go down the road.
Yes, indeed.
To reach Acme.
The other cycles mentioned above, X credit, do not have a consistent or strong relationship with asset markets. The economy and stocks, for instance, display little correlation. So what is the market usually doing? It's anticipating the end. That could be one reason, amongst others, that the market, as we've been up this much, it's anticipating, listen, this soft landing is happening right before our very eyes. That may be one reason. It's a near-run thing, but the greatest risk to stock this year, a recession, is looking like it may not be as bad as initially feared. Not be quite as bad as initially feared. And after that, stocks are set to fare relatively well in nominal terms, with inflation that is likely to remain historically elevated, though. So inflation, the Fed's adjustment needs are going to have to occur. I think that they're not going to have such a goal as to keep inflation, at 3%? Because that's going to be next to impossible. And especially given the housing market and the crude price index. A deep dive into the data shows that crude oil was the fix to the current inflation trend as global supply issues and other factors climaxed oil prices in June of 22, leading to a decline since then. See, here's another great graph, Ron. You can see that decline in crude prices
here. It goes up like a hill, and then it comes back down.
Yes. Indeed, from May and June of 22, where it was about, it would appear, at about 115, today at about 80. Nope. 70 or so. Okay.
Was that crude?
WTI crude, if you'd look it up for us, please. Everyone wants to know.
I've got this is just crude oil on Yahoo Finance.
Sure.
We're at just under 80, 79.94.
There you go.
That's with a big jump. The graph here shows a jump in the last, today, I guess. It was.
So what does this say about your portfolio?
Yes,
you
what does it
how
say?
Would this say? What would this say? Well, usually all the talking heads are wrong. Who would have guessed that the market would have been up this much this year? And in fact, even the last 2 weeks, well, you know, things look so bad. The stock market sure wouldn't have said that. Mm-mm. It sure didn't say that. Now, one other component in the CPI is rents, R-E-N-T-S, rents, rent growth. Many landlords are expected to raise rents following one of the highest periods of rent growth in recent history. Asking rents for market rate units soared 25% between early 21 and the summer of 22. You may have heard about this even locally. My gosh, I can't believe what rent rates have gone to. As many as 188,000 low-cost rental apartments funded by the government tax credit are eligible to convert their properties to market rates by 2027, according to a report from Moody's Analytics. Affordable housing rents run 38% below market rates on average, according to a 2018 report from Freddie Mac. In the years after expiration, the average rent rises to about the same level as the market in that particular case. So that would be some hugely increased cost for rents, which could well drive many people to buy a house.
Right, to the housing market.
You bet.
So,
which may drive even more demand.
If they show wages going up, that would really be a spike to the economy. Because I think still a lot of people struggling with inflated prices, whether it's housing, fuel, or groceries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, food prices and all the rest.
Yeah.
You know, when you have people saying, you know, I went to look at an average car. Well, that average car was $45,000.
Yeah.
Not so much average anymore.
By the way, I was looking at the mortgage rates you mentioned.
Yeah.
Go back a year ago, the 30-year was just under, it was 4.99 a year ago. It went all the way up to a little over 7.08%. So now we're down.
Ryan, you're where are you there? From you're in
Freddie
October,
Mac.
Right?
No, this is August, right here.
Okay. August 4 of 2022.
Yeah, so a year ago.
Yeah, 4.99. It was at 5. It went all the way up to above 7 there. That's interesting. November 10 of 22.
No.
Yeah, so I don't see that 1% drop.
Under 7. We're at 6.78
yeah.
now.
Yeah, I don't see where that bears out.
Oh, is that what they said? They said a 1-point drop.
They said
a
1-point drop from a year ago, and
wow,
I just don't.
But it is on the downswing from that high point.
Oh,
there.
It certainly is.
You know, from
you
November
bet.
To now, it's lower. It's under 6.78 now, 30-year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is having some impact. But I think overall, personal opinion, I think we just had to get used to those interest rates again. Because they've been so abnormally low for so long. But, you know, you talk to homeowners who owned homes in the 80s and 90s, and they say, oh, 7%, that's nothing, you know?
It's a bargain.
It's a bargain in the reality of history.
History.
Now, the only thing that we missed in this whole article was this climate change thing. And I'll leave the audience with this headline from 1989.
Heidi really likes this.
Oh, yes. I thought it was funny.
okay, so you see this is indeed a headline.
I'm watching. Yes, I see that.
The UN predicts disaster if global warming not checked. UN predicts disaster if global warming is not checked. This from June 29 of 1989.
34 years ago.
Approximately, yes. A senior UN environmental official says entire nations could be wiped off the face of the earth by rising sea levels if the global warming trend is not reversed by the year 2000. All I can say is they better do something about it, eh?
We're a little late.
All right.
Ah, well. So Heidi's talking about how the young person can do a Roth IRA. Tell us about it, Heidi,
That's
please.
That's right. So we have an article that comes to us from the Ed Slott Organization, and it says, help a young person use summer earnings to start a Roth IRA. So maybe you have your child or your grandchild or even a niece or nephew, they may have a summer job this summer, and they may have earned income. And an important part of managing finances is saving for the future, so why not help them contribute to an IRA as part of the summer job experience? They will get an early start on retirement savings while also learning how to save for the future, which is a great discipline to have and start out early.
It is. Some of the better memories I have with our own children are opening up college savings accounts, and our daughter Lindsay asking me about this Washington thing, you know, mutual fund that she owned in her. What is that, Dad? So those conversations can get started with something like that and can be helpful to them and to you, too.
Right. So the Roth IRA has several benefits, and let's go over a couple of those. A Roth IRA is more attractive than a traditional IRA in this scenario because contributions to a traditional IRA are deductible. But few young people will earn enough money or earnings to benefit from a deduction on their traditional IRA contributions. Roth IRA contributions are not deductible, but offer tax-free earnings if certain rules are followed. Mm. So your child or grandchild will have an important advantage of time. The earlier funds are contributed to a Roth IRA, the more potential there is for tax-free earnings to accumulate. And that brings us to one of Dennis's favorite topics is interest compounding over time and how powerful that is. We've talked about that a lot here on the
show. You bet. Hey, can you imagine a 15-year-old having 500 $5,000 in a Roth IRA to get
started. I was just going to use that example. Say they tucked $500 away and they're 15 or whatever, 65 years old. Let's say that would be 50 years?
Yes, well, just double checking the numbers here.
He's writing it down.
You're not doing this on a calculator.
I don't have. I didn't bring my calculator with me, but let's just say.
You know the formula, how to work it out?
Yeah, I do. Let's say it's 9%. That means it's going to take 8 years to double, the rule of 72, generally, okay? So every 8 years. So let's just say there are 5 8-year periods here. Let's just say it's 45 years. Keep it simple for Dennis.
That's right. No.
Eight, we want to do easy math. Sorry. Just making sure. So 8-year periods in 45 years is 8 years.
Five times.
Yeah. I remember. See, Dennis lost his confidence a bit there. So five times, $500. The first double is obviously the first time, so that's 1,000. Mm-hmm. And then we have 2,000, then 4, and then 8, and then 16. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 16 grand approximately in 45 years from $500.
Yeah.
So that's now, obviously, there can be no guarantee that they'll achieve that rate of return, but it's over that period of time, it's been relatively easy to achieve.
It just illustrates the power of saving over the long term, many decades.
Is there a minimum amount that they have to put in?
Just leading me right into my next point, Ron. It says there is no minimum age for establishing an IRA under the law. Some IRA custodians may have policies restricting IRAs for minors, but many others will allow these accounts to be established. And usually that's by bringing in a guardian to sign for the child.
How about amount of money, any minimum?
Well, there are some limits because we have contribution limits for IRAs. And so our contribution limit for people under 50 for 2023 is $6,500. Okay. So
Should cover most situations, right?
One of the concerns would be, well, we're putting this into an IRA and there's all those rules and penalties, and you may worry that they are going to need the funds sooner for something else. But a Roth IRA alleviates these concerns. If they need access to their funds, your child or grandchild will be able to take a distribution of tax year contributions at any time for any reason without tax or penalty. So that's the contribution amount, that what you're writing the check to put in the account. Doesn't include the earnings or interest or any of that. If the Roth IRA remains open for 5 years, he or she will be able to take a tax and penalty-free distribution, including earnings, to purchase a first-time home. So there are some other benefits that can come from having this Roth by establishing it, and some options for the individual that owns that account. So let's get into some of the rules, because you know we always have a lot of rules when we're doing this strategy. An IRA contribution must be based on earned income or taxable compensation. So if you earned $2,000, you can only put $2,000 in, even if the limit is $6,500. So wages from a summer job would be considered taxable compensation. So that way you can put, that's what you would use as your measure for how much you can put into the account.
Yeah, a really interesting part of this too may be that while you may be helping this child or grandchild, if they've got some skin in the game, if you will, that's going to tend to create some more interest. So obviously, as a part of this, think through how you would like to do this and how best to handle something like this.
That's right. And you're not required to contribute the maximum, so you can put any amount in. And any amount that is contributed to a Roth IRA is a good start.
You bet. So any minimums, to answer Ron's question, is going to tend to be related to the fund itself. Some funds have as low a minimum, I think, as maybe $50.
Wow.
Some are at $250. Others at $500, some are at $2,000, $2,500. It just depends on the mutual fund.
So there is also no requirement that the contribution actually be made from the wages earned by the young person. A grandparent or parent can add some to that contribution. Like Dennis said, you could have a combo. Maybe the child puts in $500 and you put in $500. But you do have to keep under that maximum IRA contribution. Now, I know I've used this myself with my children, and as a graduation gift, I gave them a Roth IRA, a funded Roth IRA.
Oh, geez,
I'm sure
thanks,
they
Mom.
Were expecting a car, but they got a Roth IRA instead.
They'll thank you later.
Mm-hmm. That's right. When they're 59 and a half, they're going to be really happy about that.
So that red convertible they were expecting didn't happen, but something second best was the Roth IRA.
So just by beginning...
No comment.
Just by beginning saving early, they can learn valuable lessons about preparing for the future and the benefits of saving over the long term. So I just thought this is a nice topic for this summer when all those kids are out there working and earning money.
So if you want to encourage saving, that's good. If say it's for a house, say Johnny or Joni, you're 15 and someday you want to buy a house, you start saving now. Plow your savings into Roth IRA. But what about if you just said you want to put into a good, conservative, well-established mutual fund? Would that be a good idea, too, for similar earnings and being able to access it later?
You mean as a non-Roth IRA?
Yeah.
There could be worse things. Absolutely. It's not going to grow tax-free. Okay, so there's some tax benefits with the Roth that occur. But if it's not a hugely, if you will, taxable fund with a history of big capital gains and all the rest, even as a child, those taxes may be, kind of minimal.
Yeah. That's right.
So the reality of it is having saved or helping them get started is the biggest piece of that whole pie.
And the example that we had was 500, but say 500, stick it in there. You could pull that's principal, I'll call it. You can pull that amount out at any time penalty-free, right?
Right.
But after 5 years, what did you say that would change after 5 years?
Well, they can even pull out some of the earnings.
Wow.
If they're purchasing that first-time home.
Okay. Well, that's pretty
so
cool.
So there are certain exceptions to pulling money out without a penalty before you're 59 and a half, and one of those is a first-time home purchase.
Great.
Awesome stuff.
All
you
right.
know, it just shows the expansiveness of these kinds of accounts. And the impact you can have in helping them learn about these saving habits.
Right.
So cool.
Now,
saving, what used to be, I remember walking into the bank when I was, 5 years old and opened up a savings account, maybe $5, I don't know.
Did you get a little passbook that they gave you?
I did.
They stamp it with a rubber stamp when you put a deposit in.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
And the people were so nice there, But, things have changed a bit since then, but the old savings account's probably yielding again, What do I know about that? But the mutual fund is probably the new savings account of the day in terms of long-term potential for good growth and good growth in income and helping them learn that whole navigation. Whether it's later in a 401k or whatever it is, some kind of a profit-sharing plan, having learned about the mutual fund and how that works. We were joking as we were prepping for this, so they can study the annual report from the mutual fund. Well, you wouldn't believe some of these funds, you wouldn't believe how good the annual report is. I probably wouldn't, Dennis.
It's very riveting.
It seems ridiculous even as I say it, but it's interesting. There are some annual reports that actually are helpful to help bring them along in terms of even glancing through it, what they'll learn from how these mutual funds work.
I think the new education bill in Michigan has personal finance starting in eighth grade now.
That's great.
Oh, it's just fantastic. Given the level of responsibility we all have, again, for our own finances, a great idea. Now, the stats of the day, Deanne Jennings, go.
Right. Leading indicators declined for the 15th month in a row in June and are now down 7.8% on a year-over-year basis. June's reading was the seventh straight month that the year-over-year decline was more than 5%, representing the sixth longest streak of readings below negative 5% on record. In each of the five prior streaks lasting seven or more months, the economy has already been in a recession by the seventh month, and that source is Conference Board.
Mm.
Monthly loan payments for student loans, which will resume this fall, will equate to an estimated 4 to 5% pay cut for the U.S. median household income. Estimates show that the average monthly repayment will be between $210 and $314. Despite the hit, spending cuts by consumers aren't expecting significant dent overall spending, and that source is Wells Fargo. And kind of to go with the whole college theme, families that have multiple children enrolled in a college or university will no longer receive preferential treatment in calculations for financial aid. Changes to the free application for federal student aid formula will no longer divide the total family contributions by the number of children enrolled in college, and that could result in one-third of families receiving less financial aid, and the source is Wall Street Journal.
That could have a big impact, because I know I have three children, and that FAFSA determines how much financial aid you're eligible for, and not being able to count other children that you have in school at the same time can make a big difference.
Yes, that could be a big hit. During the first half of 2023, just 14 of every 1,000 U.S. homes were sold, which was down from 19 in 2021 and is the lowest turnover rate in U.S. residential real estate in at least 10 years. Higher mortgage rates have handcuffed homeowners that locked in low rates prior to 2023, exacerbating what is an already undersupplied market, and that source is Redfin.
Man, this not obviously shows again the incredibly low inventory in the housing market.
Yeah, especially in our own Traverse City, how many people need housing. You know?
Things go so fast.
They
Like by the time it's even figure whether you like the house or not, it's already sold.
You better be ready to pull the trigger when you're ready.
Over the past 2 years, broadcast TV and cable have seen their share of total U.S. screen time declining 20% from 64% in May 2021 to 51.4% in June 2023.
Wow.
Picking up the slack, streaming has seen its share surge. Try saying that fast. Seen its share surge 45%, rising from 26% up to 37.7%. On a combined basis, YouTube, Netflix, and Hulu now account for 20.5% of all U.S. screen time, or nearly equal the 20.8% share of broadcast TV, and that source is Nielsen.
Whoa, isn't that incredible? YouTube, Netflix, and Hulu match the current broadcast TV percentage.
Yeah, that's incredible.
It wow.
People are watching.
People are not watching broadcast television.
Nope. People are used to, especially the younger generation, watching what they want, when they want, where they want, as opposed to what they used to call appointment TV.
Exactly.
Be home Thursday at 9 for Seinfeld or else you'll miss it.
That's right.
Yes.
I dare say people are listening to the radio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, on another note, we came across a rather extensive article in the Wall Street Journal about our own Traverse City, and it's entitled, For Summer's Best Beach Vacation, Head to Michigan?
What?
And that's by Valerie Stivers and Hank Zona. The Great Lakes region of northern Michigan around Traverse City has quietly transformed in recent years. This has made America's so-called Third Coast as cool as the other two, and in a friendly Midwestern way that outsiders can find surreal.
Surreal. Yeah.
Michigan has bragging rights about its sandy beaches, fronting aquamarine waters, the National Cherry Festival in Traverse City, and the Northern Lights, which are predicted to be especially good this next year.
Hang on a second. Now, Heidi, you were talking about some friends who had never been up here, and your daughter's friend commenting about cherries.
Oh, yeah. She hadn't had cherries before, and she really likes them. She's like, wow, these are good. And the other amusing thing was she was like, I didn't even know you had beaches in Michigan. So she's from Texas.
I grew up in Michigan. I didn't know we had beaches until I was 20 years old.
Amazing. Aww. And we just wonder who let the secret out to the Wall Street Journal of our special area here.
As I said before, this article is so extensive. It talks about all these restaurants and hotels, a Waterview Room at Alexandria Inn, which is
brand new.
Right.
It is.
East Grand Traverse Bay. It talks about Sugar to Salt. The city's centerpiece is the almost 20-year-old village in Grand Traverse Commons with its shops, galleries, eateries, household castle-like Victorian buildings, Left Foot Charlie's, Boardman Lake nearly completed its four-mile loop on the Tart Trail system, or newly completed, I should say.
Newly completed, you bet.
Yeah, and then Good Bowl, Slabtown Cookie Company, which I haven't heard of. We need to check that out. Yeah.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal. You can Google and see it online.
July 21st article, so you've had a relatively recent.
All right, we'll wrap up New Retirement Radio for this week with Prout Financial Design, Dennis Prout, Heidi Cartwright, Deanne Jennings. Thank you all.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks,
John Sluice joining us next week, CPA on taxes.
Mm-hmm. And you can always find out anything you want at proutfinancialdesign.com.
You're listening to New Retirement Radio. Brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1. Registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. And investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor. Or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.